Thank you, and a very pleasant greeting, ladies and gentlemen. I am Gary Colley, evangelist of the Get Well Church of Christ here in Memphis, Tennessee, and it's such a pleasure for me each Lord's Day morning to greet you on this The Truth in Love broadcast. This broadcast has been going for more than 50 years, and there's been much wonderful teaching that has come from it by those speakers who have gone before me, and I hope and trust that the things which we speak shall also be in harmony with God's will, and shall help the souls of men who are looking for the gospel and the way of salvation. Always happy, of course, to greet our listeners, and we're hopeful that you will make the listening to the program a regular habit, and that you will also encourage your friends to listen also. Any questions or comments that you may have concerning the broadcast, we would certainly be glad to hear from you. Or if you desire a free Bible correspondence course that you can study in the privacy of your own home with your own Bible, we're happy to offer that free of charge. So any of these requests that you may have may be addressed to the Get Well Church of Christ, 1511 Get Well Road, Memphis, Tennessee, 38111. We look forward to hearing from you, and especially if we may be of assistance to you in spiritual matters. You know, it is said by Paul in Romans 6, verse 1. He said, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we who are dead to sin live therein any longer? Or are you ignorant, brethren, that as many of you as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised through the glory of the Father, so also we should be raised to walk in newness of life." What a wonderful pleasure it is to have God's Word. It is that which declares unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and there is hope there, my friend. There is the best life that anybody can live. That is to live the Christian life. So if we add to our faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, as is commanded in 2 Peter 1:5-11, then he said we shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see what's afar off, and he hath forgotten that he was once purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall, and thus shall be richly supplied unto you an entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord came to save us, and it is that which is able to be had by all men, but that salvation cannot be had without your submission. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." We're hopeful that today you will come to him, hearing his word, believing it with all of your heart as he commanded, repenting of your sins, confessing the name of Christ before men, and being buried with your Lord in baptism to wash away your sins, arising from that watery grave in the likeness of death, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. This is the form of doctrine we are to obey, but you arise to walk in a new life, a newness of life, and you're not the same old sinner that you were when you went into the waters of baptism. Walking in that glorious light, my friends, we shall be able to please God, and we shall be able to have our pardon and our hope. But if we walk in the light, John said in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Attention has been called, I believe, on our programs in the past to the gospel of Christ as the glorious light of the Christian dispensation. And the Word of God in all ages has been that light. David said in Psalms 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path." And my friends, if you turn the lamp off by closing your Bible, if you do not see the light for your path because you haven't studied, then you can understand why, can you not? That you do not have the right guidance and direction for your life. Paul speaks of the light of the glorious gospel of Christ in 2 Corinthians 4:4. So these passages, my friends, from John and from Paul, make Christian fellowship and purification from sin through the blood of Christ. They make these things to depend upon walking in the light, following the word of the Lord, in other words. Are you walking in the light? Are you following the word of God? I don't mean are you following what feels good to you or what you think may be right, But are you following in the steps of our Savior, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Hence in the next chapter, verses 4 and 5, the apostle says, He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. Are you in him? You cannot know that, my friends, unless you walk in his word. Keep his word. Do those things that are commanded therein. Jesus said, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. And many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? In thy name cast out demons, in thy name do many wonderful works. But he said, Then I'll profess unto them, Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Therefore whoso heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, but it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. But whoso heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not is likened unto a fool. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as did the scribes. You know, my friends, if an alien sinner would be saved from his sins through the blood of Christ, then he must do what the word of the Lord requires of him, doesn't he? That is, he requires him to do in order to this end, and the same is true of a Christian when he sins. The following thoughts then show that the former things that we have discussed today must be done in walking in the light. Hebrews 11:6, for instance, says, But without faith it is impossible to please him. But he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, number one, and number two, that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. How do you establish faith in your life? You know, there are those who think that whatever their opinions are, that's their faith. But that's not faith, my friends. Opinion is not faith at all. Knowledge is not faith. If you know something, that doesn't mean that it's faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. So when we hear the word of God, we are established in faith when we believe and walk in that evidence. Jesus said in Mark 16:15-16, To his apostles, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now these things are so clear we cannot miss them, can we? You must believe. You must be baptized. Here are two things necessary to salvation. Jesus said, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Men today sometimes say, He that believeth shall be saved, and then he can be baptized later if he so desires. But that's not what this reads, is it? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:15-16. Then also we must understand that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, just as Jesus said in Luke 24:46-47. Peter stood on the day of Pentecost and said, Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. He is the ruler, he is the Messiah. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, the Bible says, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Just pray the little sinner's prayer, and that's all you need to do. Really, there's nothing you can do in order to be saved. Now hold on, friend. That's what men say today, but that's not what the Lord says, is it? And that's not what Peter said. Peter said unto them, By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. This account is found in Acts 2, verse 36 through 38. We also notice that Saul of Tarsus, one who had persecuted the church, soon was to become a proclaimer of that which he had already persecuted before. He was told when he went into the city of Damascus to hear what he must do in order to be saved, And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22:16. Have you called on the name of the Lord in his appointed way? Or have you just said, Lord, Lord, without any obedience to his will? One, my friends, will give you forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternity in heaven. The other will only give you destruction. Jesus will say to you one day, depart from me, I don't know you. You never obeyed me. You didn't hear my word. You didn't walk in my way as I have commanded. And so I didn't know you. And because of that, he shall say, depart. That, my friends, will be a horrible thing to hear. And our pastor, our preacher, our priest won't be there to say, well, I'll take his place. No. No, my friends, you're responsible for declaring and understanding the will of the Lord. Ephesians 5:17 says, be not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, frequently when these passages are brought before our minds to emphasize the gospel conditions of salvation to those out of the kingdom of Christ, opposers will quote such passages as follows. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood, Revelation 1:6. And they say, you know that salvation is through Christ's blood and not through baptism. Thus they betray their ignorance of the all-important principle set forth by the apostle. That is, that while salvation is through the blood of Christ, my friends, yet being saved through the gracious means depends upon walking in the light, doesn't it? Doing what the word of the Lord requires. Don't you remember what 1 John 1:7 says? If we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. The Jewish covenant, with its appointments and with its dedication and sealed by in the things that it was doing by the blood of animals, Hebrews 9:18-20. But we have now a sealed commandment and covenant with our Lord through his precious blood. And he who refused to obey the law under that first covenant, the covenant there given in the law of Moses, he rejected the blood by which it was dedicated and sealed. And the Bible says he died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Well, now when we come to the gospel covenant, that agreement between God and man, God makes all the stipulations, of course. Man either accepts them in obedience or he rejects them in his refusal to obey. But the gospel covenant with its appointments is established and sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ, Hebrews 9:13-28. He who will not obey this law that the Lord has given, he tramples under his feet the blood of Christ that it sealed that law and fits himself for a much sorer punishment, the Bible says, than under the law of Moses. And in Hebrews 2:1-2, he said, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them drift away from us. For if the words spoken by angels, that's that old law, if those words were steadfast, and every transgression and every disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? My friends, we won't escape, will we? It's promised through the blood of Christ on the conditions that we walk in the light. Until we walk in the light, we can't have the great salvation. So he said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, both with signs and wonders and manifold deeds, and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. You see, baptized believers are commanded, when they sin, to repent and confess their sins and pray for forgiveness. In Acts 8, when Simon had obeyed the gospel, and then fell back into some of his old ways, he was told, repent and pray God, that the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. No, he's not told to repent and be baptized again. He's told to repent and pray to the Father because he's now God's child. And so because of that, he's able to pray unto the Father. You know, in James 5:16, he says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, one could just as reasonably say, with reference to the law of forgiveness to the erring Christian, that forgiveness of sins is through Christ's blood and not through prayer, as he can with a reference to the law of pardon to alien sinners, that pardon is through the blood of Christ, but not through baptism. But do you know he who talks thus and acts according with these references to any of God's appointments can never reach salvation through the blood of Jesus? And by his own works of righteousness, he will never make it. And hence would have reason to boast of giving himself the glory instead of unto God, because he figured his own way. He did it his way instead of doing it God's way. But the law of an obedient faith in Christ Jesus, in which salvation comes through the grace of God, bestowed in the blessings of salvation through his Son, excludes boasting, doesn't it? We have nothing to boast of. We submit ourselves in submission to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And those who are thus saved rejoice in ascribing the glory to God and not unto ourselves. In the time and eternity, their song is and shall be about redemption through the blood of the Lamb. It says in Revelation 5:9, they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the books, or the book, and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. It has been shown, my friends, that salvation then from sin is effected by the blood of Jesus Christ, but that before one can be effected by the other, a person must walk in the light, do what the Lord's word commands and requires, and walking in that glorious light is an important necessity, isn't it? Quotations and references have been given to show that the gospel contains conditions by which an alien sinner may be saved. When he complies with those things in order to salvation through the grace of God bestowed in the death of his Son, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. What erring Christians must do, what alien sinners must do then, is clearly drawn out in the Scriptures, is it not? We can be pardoned through the same gracious means of the gospel. I now desire to impress upon your mind and others the all-important necessity of Christians walking daily in the glorious light and thus consecrating themselves to God. You know, it is said also in 1 Corinthians 15:58, Therefore, that is for the reason that there is to be a glorious resurrection for the faithful to incorruption and immortality. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What does it mean for something to be vain? Well, it means to be worthless, empty. But labor's in the Lord, that is, walking in his light, walking in the conditions of pardon which he gives, walking by the word of God, your labor's not in vain there, because it's in the Lord. You can either be in the Lord's kingdom or you can be in the devil's kingdom. And you know everybody in the world is in one or the other of those. My friends, where are you walking today? Are you walking in the kingdom of the devil, or are you walking in the kingdom of the Lord? Colossians 1:13, he said, Who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He's talking to the Christians at Colossae, and they were walking in the light. You know, words of stronger expressiveness could not be used than those that are employed by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:58. And the apostle stands forth as one of the greatest practical examples of faithfulness to his own teaching that the Christian age has ever known. He said even then in 1 Corinthians 1:11, Be ye imitators of me, as I also am of Christ. He didn't say be imitators of me just as a man, but he said you be imitators of me as I also am an imitator of Christ. So the divine assurance of bonds and afflictions could not move the Apostle Paul from steadfastness to God's service. They couldn't put him in a prison strong enough to keep him from being God's faithful servant. He was ready not only for bonds and afflictions, but also for death in behalf of the name of the Lord Jesus. Beneath the most severe storms of trial then that he went through, the persecutions that he stood steadfast in, unmovable, he was always abounding in the work of the Lord. His labors were most abundant, weren't they? His stripes above measure. His imprisonments frequent. He lived in jeopardy, he said, that is the danger of death for preaching Christ, every hour. He was whipped by the Jews five times, received 39 lashes at each infliction, and was beaten with rods three times. Was a night and the day in the deep, that is the cold waters of the Mediterranean Sea evidently. Was in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine, that is his own countrymen, the Jews, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, in watchings often, and in cold and nakedness. How our souls should be stirred by his example. This example of greatness is a type of heroism, isn't it? Is Paul your hero? He should be. To courageously press onward in the glorious light that we're to walk in, despite the powers of darkness. For the prize of the high calling of God, Paul said, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He said he forgot those things which were behind and pressed forward to those things which are before, that he might obtain that glorious crown. I'm hopeful that all in our radio audience today are doing the same thing, continuing to walk in the light, faithful in the charge of our Lord until the end of time. Whatever be the persecutions, they are simply very small in regard to eternity, aren't they? What a noble example of steadfastness and immovableness in the worship and service of God do we have in the history of the prophet Daniel. You know, any man who asked any petition of any god or man for 30 days, save the king Darius, he said, was to be cast into the den of lions. Many Christians today, in their spiritual weakness and sickness, would have said, well, now look, we will leave off the worship of God for 30 days, and then we'll return to it. But Daniel was true to the principle and to his God. He went three times a day in prayer to him, whom he knew he could safely serve and trust. Hence into the den of lions he was cast, you recall, according to the unchangeable decree of the king. But the next morning he declared to the king, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Faithful and undivided worship and service is what God wants, isn't it? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego furnish us courageous examples also in giving themselves to Babylon's burning fiery furnace before they would serve the gods of the king or worship the golden image that he had made, probably in his own likeness. Do you say, my friends, well, these Old Testament characters don't have anything to do with us? It's an inappropriate connection. I would answer to that. This makes them more powerful as examples, does it not? They had not the light of immortality to cheer them in the presence and the measure that Christians do today. For life and immortality were brought to light by the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the gospel, according to 2 Timothy 1:10. Well, might the apostle say, whatsoever things were written aforetime, that is in the Old Testament, were written for our learning, that we through patience and the comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Romans 15 and verse 4. How we should be moved by the examples of those ancient heroes to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and to run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. My friend, are you walking in the light today? If you've not come into Christ, you're not in the light. And though you are in Christ, you must walk. You must walk in the light, live in the light, continually, faithfully serving in the Lord's kingdom. You know, the fruit of walking daily and steadfastly in the light is this result: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such, he says, there is no law, Galatians 5. The early Christians, in their steadfastness and their fruit-bearing, they came together on the first day of the week, didn't they? To partake of the communion of the body and the blood of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10:16, Acts 20 and verse 7. They came together on the first day of the week to break bread. And Paul preached unto them, intending to leave on the morrow, continued his speech until midnight. While they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, Acts 2:42, and fellowship in breaking of bread, that is the communion that we've just mentioned, and in prayer. They were also commanded by the Holy Spirit to speak to themselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord, Ephesians 5:19. In Colossians 3:16, he said, you let the word of Christ dwell or live in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. Now, Christians who uncompromisingly walk in the light, follow God's word in all things, that is, they're ridiculed by the people who are not loyal to God, of course. But that, my friends, is something they're going to have to endure. This sometimes is the hardest persecution to bear that has been inflicted on the faithful children of God. But they will not give in. They will not turn from their desires to walk in the will of the Lord. You know, the man who says, I know him, but he keeps not his commandments. John said he's a liar, you remember. The truth is not in him. But he that keepeth his word, in him truly is the love of God perfected. And hereby we know that we're in him, 1 John 2, verse 3 through 5. My friends, I hope that you're walking in the light. I hope that you've come into Christ where there is salvation, where there is hope, where you will find the blessings of life eternal. Because if you don't, you cannot have that hope. But if you will believe that God is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek after him, then the blessings and hope of life can be yours. How grand it would be if all Christians today would walk, regardless of all opposition, by faithful living in the Christian life, letting their light shine, living soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. You know, that's according to the grace of God's teaching us, Titus 2:11 and 12. And may we prayerfully from day to day and in worshiping God, faithful on every service that the church has, to have that motive that prompts us to live as we ought to live. We ought to, my friends, because it's right, because it's God's will, because of the hope that can be ours if we'll walk in the glorious light of the gospel. There's spiritual light if you want it, and you must take advantage of it by hearing and believing and repenting of your sins, confessing the precious name of Christ before men. Many men have never confessed the Lord, but we must confess him, because Romans 10:9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Don't forget, my friends, baptism is what brings us into the blood of Christ and into the kingdom of the Lord. Been such a pleasure to be with you today. We're hopeful that our program has been beneficial to you. We hope that you'll be with us in the services of the Get Well Church of Christ today. And then again, next Lord's Day, we hope to meet you by means of this broadcast. But until then, we bid you a very pleasant, good Lord's Day.